From the first reports of Spanish influenza in Milwaukee in late September 1918, the virus quickly spread along railroad lines and highways. History professor Stephen Berg of Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania researched and wrote about the 1918 outbreak in a 2000 article for the Wisconsin Magazine of History.
Once an outbreak would be in a particular area, then people were simply waiting for it to spread to their communities. And so there was this real sense of dread. And in other places, you see a real hope or a desire or an optimism that their particular community would be spared.
But few communities were. By the end of December, more than 8,400 people had died from influenza or complications like pneumonia. Every county in Wisconsin was affected. Berg and others who've studied the outbreak say it could have been worse if not for the state's rapid response and its public health infrastructure.
And especially the city of Milwaukee, the Socialist Party in Milwaukee and the reformers in Milwaukee had been very, very aggressive in trying to educate the public about contagious disease, to try to come up with effective measures for countering contagious disease, and also for responding when outbreaks came.
Every community in the state had a local health board and a health officer, if only to act as a liaison to the state in a time of crisis. The state health officer, Cornelius Harper, had what no other person in his position in any other state had at the time, the power to issue statewide orders. On October 10th, Harper ordered all public institutions closed. That included churches, schools, movie theaters, taverns, everything. Virologist Terry Shore at UW-Oshkosh co-authored a study of the 1918 outbreak. She says that proved to be the best thing for controlling the spread of the virus.
Quarantine and isolation is ultra critical. If the virus doesn't have a host, it can't spread.
The shutdown order stayed in effect for about 2 months. It didn't stop the sickness and death right away, but October was the peak month for new cases of the influenza. Today, state health officials say we're a long way from even considering anything that drastic. Psychology professor Susan McFadden at UW-Oshkosh also worked on the study of the 1918 flu. She says a wide-scale shutdown of public facilities, if needed at some point, might be tougher to pull off today than it was about 90 years ago.
I think that people in 1918 may have been more open to stopping their public meetings and closing things down and staying home. Today we a lot of people think that they're immune and that they can go out and gather in crowds anyway.
State officials say they're confident they can monitor and control the current H1N1 outbreak by combining some of what people did in 1918 with the better understanding we have of viruses today. Seth Foley is Wisconsin's state health officer.
In 1918, we barely knew what a virus was. In 2009, we actually are looking at the genetic code of this virus within several days of its first detection. But the practical problems of preventing spread from person to person are still very similar.
Foley says things like washing your hands and staying home if you're sick are still good ways to keep a virus from spreading, and a vaccine for people in high-risk groups and careful monitoring of the virus's spread are expected to help health officials limit the severity of the H1N1 outbreak. Michael Leland, Wisconsin Public Radio News.